right. Dr. Joe Camerato here with Across Continuum, and I want to talk about getting in our own way. I mean, if there's one thing that I've learned in the physical therapy space, it's that physical therapists, unfortunately, like getting in their own way. I mean, I've seen plenty of physical therapists memes about this sort of topic, and basically what I'm talking about in the treatment world, at least, is that physical therapists will have a patient in front of them, and the patient will come in with like one problem, and then the physical therapist will point out all of these other either related or unrelated, usually unrelated issues that they think are related to the patient's problem, and then the patient ends up leaving with a whole new bag of problems that they have to think about. And then what ends up happening is that they don't get better like they would have if the physical therapist had just ignored all of those hip alignments, or, you know, their feet were pronated, or they felt a tender spot when they jammed their elbow into their butt cheeks, and they would have gotten better had we not brought all this stuff up. And then the physical therapist blames the patient for not getting better because they didn't do their HEP, you know, 9 days a week. When in reality is that the physical therapist kind of sewed all these issues into the patient's brain that weren't there before, and then they kind of shoot themselves in the foot. And so physical therapists historically, and I mean most people on the planet, like getting in their own way because it's just hard to see outside of our own biases and the things that we really need to be looking at. And, you know, then there's the whole rabbit hole of naive realism, where things aren't the same across people as far as reality goes, but we're not going to get into that. And the reason that I bring up getting in your own way is because physical therapy, in my opinion, is relatively simple, right? You befriend your patient, you figure out what they need, and then you make them do it. And then we kind of wait for nature to take place. They get better, and then we're all friends at the end. But really, it doesn't happen that way. And I think what ends up happening is that physical therapists like to feel like Batman rather than Alfred, as I think Jason Silvernail put it. They need to feel validated. They need to feel like they went to school for something rather than just, you know, waiting around in front of the patient until they get better. They need to feel like there's some sort of control that's going on. And that kind of bleeds into cash PT owners when I talk to them about doing anything remotely, you know, whether it's remote wellness plans or remote coaching or what have you. Like something weird happens where, because they're so far away from the patient or the athlete or the client, whatever we want to call them, they feel like they can't really make things happen. Now, recently I've spoken with some clinic owners that say, yeah, I need them in front of me so that I can make real-time changes, or I can't really control what's going on if they're not in front of me. And so I'm not going to do any sort of remote wellness because it just, I need more. You know, they might be doing it wrong if they're left to their own devices. And I hear that. And at the same time, I think that it is shooting yourself in the foot. I mean, in the reality of musculoskeletal medicine and the reality of these acute injuries, or even these like more persistent injuries, the patients are going to trend in the direction of getting better on their own. I mean, you have to consider that there's a selection bias of the people who come in to see us are just the folks who weren't really getting better as quickly as they had anticipated. And so then they kind of deemed themselves as having something really wrong with them and then sought help. But there's an entire population of people that have some sort of internal locus of control, or they feel like that's not a big issue, the symptoms that they're feeling, and then they just get better. And they don't come in. So there's a selection bias of people that we're seeing that either surpass their arbitrary timeline of getting better, and they think that something's really wrong and they come in, or they just were uncertain about whatever symptoms they were feeling and they came in. But if we really take a step back and look at the population of people that come into physical therapy versus the people that don't come into physical therapy, I mean, a significant portion of people just get better without my help, without your help, without anybody's help. But the idea that We are, as physical therapists, making significant contributions to the patient getting better, or that we are the technician that is fine-tuning the machine of the patient, is something that I think that we need to kick, because it is getting in our way when it comes to building out this continuity plan or these remote wellness plans. Because the idea that they can't do stuff unless I'm present, or they can't be trusted to do things appropriately unless I'm there, is really killing your bottom line, if I'm being honest. I mean, the idea of movement optimism, right? The idea that I can, not only I, but that the human can adapt to a wide range of stimuli, to a lot of different movements, to a lot of different stressors, is a great one to adopt. The counter to that would be what's called a kinesiopathologic model, where there's a right and a wrong way to do everything. And so if somebody does something the wrong way, let's say a squat, then they're going to hurt themselves. And subscribing to that idea really loops you into this feedback loop that doesn't really help anybody, right? It doesn't help the patient, because you're putting them in movement jail. If you're there with them in person, you're saying, you have a little bit of valgus going on, we can't be doing that, or else you're going to tear your ACL, or make sure that you're doing a drawing in maneuver with your TRA as you pick this up. Or there's just almost too much feedback that's going on, because you just want to help, and you're under the impression that they can't be trusted because they're either fragile or they are going to hurt themselves if left to their own devices. And the flip side of that, with the movement optimism, it really kind of releases us from these shackles. It releases us from the idea that we have to keep them in our clinic or in our practice in person. And what we can do is we can say, hey, I'm acknowledging that we did formal physical therapy and you got better. And now we're moving to wellness. Now we're moving to strength and conditioning. And I trust you to be far away from me, and that you'll get better. And not only that, I trust that if you're far away from me, that you're going to get probably more better than if you were here with me in person. Because if you're here with me in person, then I have the bias to make a lot of corrections in real time, which doesn't really allow this. Again, I talk about loci of control. An external locus of control is when a patient or a client feels like they need your help, and without it, they just can't manage things. Put in another way, this is like self-efficacy or an internal locus of control. An internal locus of control is when somebody feels like, okay, I can manage this by myself. Self-efficacy is I have control of the current context and the situation. And when they are far from us, and when they have time to deal with any setbacks or any consequences, whether that's by themselves for a few hours or for a few days before they get a check-in, then I think that is worth it. Because let's say somebody gets knee pain while they're squatting doing your program. If you're there right with them in person, you're going to evaluate it, right? You're going to get your hands on their knee. You're going to check all their ligaments. You're going to see if they have a positive meniscus test or whatever. And then you're going to say, okay, let's just chill out for a little bit. We're going to go ahead and take the weight down and X, Y, and Z, and then, we'll see how it is in a week. And the opposite to that is if they're far away from you and they get knee pain and they're just kind of left by themselves, there's a couple things that they can do. They can either not do stuff and say, I'm just going to wait, or they can do stuff and see how it goes. And the idea is that our messaging around the remote wellness is going to be the latter, where we're like, hey, if something goes wrong, just see what you can do, try and modify in real time, and then we'll check in. And if anything's really hanging off of you, then we can, make a new plan. And there's just this like delay. And I can't stress enough how keeping folks at an arm's length when it comes to that delay in feedback can be very helpful, right? We're trying to teach them a skill. We're trying to teach them how to train. We're trying to teach them how to do this thing for a very long time. And inevitably, and this thing is training, and inevitably, everybody on the planet is going to have an injury, is going to have a symptom, is going to have pain at some point, and some of that is going to happen during training. And if you can teach them how to be self-sufficient, how to have self-efficacy, how to have an internal locus of control, and all of that being facilitated by having them at an arm's length, or instilling this kind of delayed feedback from you, the medical authority, then that's a net win, because they're going to learn how to just be on their own, how to modify training in real time without you there. And they're going to come back to you and say, hey, you know, I hurt my knee, but I did a little bit less weight and I adjusted the range of motion a little bit and it went totally fine. And I only had to take 10 pounds off the bar. And you're going to be like, wow, that was fantastic. And you didn't need any immediate feedback from me. And we can continue to do this thing. And every successful exposure that they have to stuff like that and that sort of experience is going to help to build those experiences up and compound on them in the future. And what you end up doing is you build this customer, you build this person, this client who doesn't need you as much in the classic sense, in the physical therapy sense, which is great because we're not doing physical therapy with them anymore, right? We're doing remote strength coaching. We're doing remote wellness. And what you're doing is you're crafting and you're creating and you're building this customer who is able to not be there in front of you and have things not go awry, which is exactly what we want, right? We want to have this relationship where I'm the coach and you're the athlete and I give you this program and you do it. And if you have any troubles, you let me know. And we'll converse, you know, a couple times a week at tops because things are just flowing along great. And so that opens you up to pushing your patients who are in clinic onto this remote wellness plan and then not having to worry about them needing to come back or needing to be in person or needing to be on your schedule or taking up your time with calls. And if you do, they're going to be few and far between, and you're going to have time to focus on the people who need you in person, which are your patients who actually need your full-on attention in your clinic, in your practice. And you can have the best of both worlds when it comes to being able to focus on the people who really need you there right now in person, and then check in with and feel okay with the people who are remote from you and not doing crazy stuff that you need to kind of keep your pulse on or keep your thumb on the pulse of. And so when it comes to getting in your own way, try not to be a helicopter physical therapist. Try and free range your patients, so to speak, so that we can avoid these fragile patients and this kind of need for them to be in person, which in the consequence of that is that you can't spend that time on your schedule with patients who actually need you. You can scale your business. We want to build robust patients. We want to build robust customers and clients so that we can move them off onto a remote wellness plan and not have them taking up space and time on our schedule. Now, if you can really nail this down and kind of relinquish control and release yourself from needing to be there and trust in your patients and incrementally build this over time, then you're really going to be setting yourself up for a well-oiled and a well-functioning remote wellness machine that is only going to help basically in every aspect of the patient's life and of your life and your business's life. If you have any questions, you know where to find me on Instagram at Across Continuum. You can email me, joe@acrosscontinuum.com. And those are the two best spots to find me. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and it's nice and sunny wherever you are.